Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Today's message is from the Summer Revelation series titled, Will Jesus Call Your Church Dead? This is part one. Now here's Pastor Steve.
When you read the book of Revelation, Jesus is talking to you. See, a lot of people see this as a prophetic book and they don't really understand it. I'm going to make this as simple as I can today. And I really just want to focus on the things that really apply to us. I can get into the historical background. That's what we pretty much do out of with our Bible studies. We go very deep that way. But I, with the book of Revelation, I want to stay in the areas that really apply to us right now today and understand how does this book really apply to me? And so that's what we're going to try to do throughout this entire book. And this book is a book where Jesus is talking to you. In Revelation chapter 1 and 1, it says, this is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants the events that must take place soon. So Jesus revealed to the Apostle John this information through an angel in a vision. The Apostle John, he actually saw the contents of the book of Revelation before his eyes, and he described what he witnessed in a book that came to us today. Jesus instructed John to write the vision and to distribute this prophetic book not only to the churches of that time, but really the churches of all ages, all generations to come. And that is why we have this book today. It is so important for us to understand that God wants us to know this book so well that he's attached a blessing for those who read and listen to it. Isn't that awesome? I don't know if there's another book in the Bible where it says, and when you read this book, God will give you a blessing. The Bible says for those who read and study this book and obey it, they'll get a blessing from God. Let me read that to you in Revelation chapter 1 and 3. It says, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. Jesus said in Revelation 22 and 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this message for the churches. And then again in Revelation 1 and 11, Jesus told John, he said, write in a book everything that you see and send it to the seven churches in the cities of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, to understand how these books and especially these churches relate to us, in these seven churches, Jesus reveals to you seven methods of attack that Satan uses to tempt and to destroy us as Christians and the church. So, number one, in the church in Ephesus, we see Satan's first attack. What he does is he tempts through competing priorities in our lives for God's place in our life, God's love that we should have, and our commitment to Jesus Christ. That is actually an attack. Because Jesus commanded us in Matthew chapter 22 and 37, listen to what he says. You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So Satan goes right after it. He didn't want you to do that. Let me just say something about God's commandments. They're not suggestions. I think I need your help this morning. Look at the person next to you and say, God's commandments are not just suggestions. And I think this is one of the problems with the church. We read things in the Bible and we don't look at it as a command. We think, oh, okay, it's kind of like the buffet line. I like that. Nah, I don't eat that. I'll take this. I'll take this. You can't do that with the Word of God. The Word of God is a commandment. We will be judged by the things God tells us we must do in this book. You know, I said God's commandments are not suggestions, yet in a survey, most Christians put their family before God. It's true. But let me tell you what Jesus said in Luke 14 and 26. He said, if anyone comes to me but loves his father, his mother, his husband, his wife, his children, brothers and sisters, or even his own life more than me, he can't be my follower. See, this is one of the things we put on a buffet line. I'm just being really straight with you today. We think that this scripture right here is something you can take it or leave it. It's not so. And in the book of Revelation, guys, if you've never been real with God, this is the book you better be real with him. Because he's telling you exactly what's going to happen. The things that are about to happen on planet Earth are astounding. And the Lord wants you to know about it, to make sure, as Christians, you're not here during the tribulation period, and yet he's going to tell you everything that's going to happen. Yeah, we're just starting with these attacks against us. Satan's second attack is persecution. The devil's going to do everything he can to attempt to frighten you or intimidate you not to witness to others about Jesus Christ. That's an attack. Where people say, well, I don't know that I should really do that, or, you know, they're going to look at me differently. That's an attack from Satan. The Bible tells us in Luke 9 and 26, it says, if anyone is ashamed of me, this is Jesus, and my message, the Son of God will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of his Father and with his holy angels. So that is an attack for us not to witness. Satan's third and fourth attack is false teaching and physical immorality. Satan tempts us to follow this culture morally. So what have we been talking about? We've been talking about the church in Ephesus. Smyrna was the church of persecution. And now we're talking about Pergamum and Thyatira. His third and fourth attack, false teaching and physical immorality. Now, I want you to listen to these surveys that I give you because they're absolutely true. It's hard to believe. According to a new survey by Pew Research, half of self-identified Christians in America say physical immorality is sometimes or always acceptable. Among those who attend church weekly, 41% support same-sex marriage. The majority of Christians, 58%, say that the Bible is the inspired word of God, while only 25% say it should be interpreted literally. 58% of Christians do not say that the Bible should be taken literally. Are you listening to these surveys? We are clearly in the last days. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 1, it says, now the Holy Spirit says that in the last time, some will turn away from the true faith, and they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. This is the time in which we live, where many in the church are falling away from what the Word of God says, and they are putting their own interpretations behind it. Now, in Revelation chapter 3, it reveals the final three messages to the churches of Asia and to us. And these churches were Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I'll see how much I can get through today. I'm not going to rush. But number five, that is Satan's fifth attack on the church, is spiritual deception. Jesus said he is a liar and the father of all lies. Now listen to this survey. Nearly 70% of born-again Christians disagree with the Bible's position that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, according to a new survey. 70%. Some of you are asking right now, what planet is that from? Now, I want you to listen to what Jesus said to the church in Sardis, because this is really where it really gets deep, and we really need to understand God's perspective to us really disobeying his word and not following through with what the scripture says. So listen to what he says to this church. Jesus said to the angel of the church in Sardis, write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Now, the seven spirits represents the Holy Spirit, and the seven stars represent the pastors of the churches. Listen to what the Lord says. He says, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead, spiritually dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent, therefore. If you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus begins by addressing this church saying, I know your works, that you have a reputation that you are alive, but you're dead. One of the most serious things Jesus can say to any professing Christian is, you're dead. You're spiritually dead. You're not born again, you're dead. And he's saying this to this church.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a quick look at the messages coming your way on the radio ministry this week and in this Sunday service.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. As we continue our series in the book of Revelation, the Bible reminds us to read and study this book because it will impart a divine blessing. Revelation chapter 1 and 3 says, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses the one who listens to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. While on earth, Jesus was asked by his disciples concerning the time and the details of his second coming. And this is what he said in Mark chapter 13 and 32. No one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. However, Bible prophecy reveals that we are living in the season of Christ's soon return. Keep listening daily to the programs every day to understand what that means to you and your family. I would like to invite you this Sunday to Spirit Life Church. I am sure that God will speak to you and his presence will be so real. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
We will be airing these informative messages on the book of Revelation over the next few weeks. Be sure and join us daily right here on KDKR. And we encourage you to be with us at the church for our uplifting live service every Sunday morning at 10. The church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. If you'd like more information about our ministry, be sure and check out the website at aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
Sardis had a reputation without reality. And so many people lived there, right on that street. Outwardly, you are not the way you are living inwardly. And maybe those closest to you know it, and others don't, because we all look great when we come to church. We all look like saints, but in every church, there are saints and ain'ts. And we don't know by what you wear if you're a saint or an ain't. But we know we have ain'ts. Now, I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about churches down the street. Let me just get that clear. Sardis had a reputation for being a spiritual church. They were effective in ministry. They were a testimony to their community. They had a name that they were alive. They were a happening church. And yet Jesus referred to them as a dead church on life support. And just to make it clear what he meant, in Colossians 2 and 13, Paul mentions, he says to the church, you were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature, because it had not yet been changed. Then God made you alive with Christ when he forgave your sins. So make no mistake about it. Jesus was saying, you are dead spiritually. Now, how do you discern a spiritually happening church? A church that has it all together, by the crowds, by their involvement in the community, by the way the people dress or the cars that they drive. Well, Jesus doesn't see it that way. He is never impressed by outward appearances, because the Holy Spirit sees through every performance, every spiritual practice, every sentiment, and every emotion and motive. But we can notice different things when we go to different churches. When you observe no passion during worship, people are kind of looking around, wondering why they're there. When you notice that there are never altar calls, no burden for the lost, no brokenness over sin, no hunger for spiritual growth, no tears, no awe of God, no joy, no prayer, no prayer for the sick, just formality, just repetition, just image. If you're in a church and you're witnessing that type of behavior, you are probably in a dead church. Jesus confronted the Pharisees for this very reason. They honored God with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. See, religious people, they do religious things, but their heart toward God is closed. In Mark 7 and 6, Jesus said, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce. For they teach man-made ideas as commands from God, for you ignore God's law and substitute it with your own traditions. Folks, we're living in a time where people make up their theology and they believe it will save them. Let me give you an example. Universalism. That's a doctrine that teaches all people will be saved. And the main argument of universalism is that a good and a loving God would never condemn people to eternal torment in hell. That's their theology. That's what they believe. Let me just agree. God doesn't send anyone to hell. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and 9, it says God doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants everyone to repent. But let me make you aware of a fact. You cannot enter heaven as a sinner. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, live free from sin. Anyone whose life is not holy will never see the Lord. You're not going to heaven. People choose
where they spend eternity by accepting or rejecting God's only means of salvation, his son, Jesus Christ. So where you spend eternity, you get to choose. You can choose heaven or you can choose hell, which ultimately leads to the lake of fire. Because Jesus Christ is the only way. In Acts chapter 4 and 12, it says, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. In John 3 and 36, it says, and anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under sin's eternal judgment. Now, I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I alive in Christ or just going through the motions? Are you born again? Are you a born-again child of God? The Bible says the only way that can happen is by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. You can't just wake up and say, well, I'm born again. Well, did you receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? No. I just started feeling good one day and I feel holy. You are wholly confused. See, the Bible says in John 1 and 12, it says, to all who believe in Jesus Christ and accept him, he gives the right to become the children of God. He's the only way. In Acts chapter 2 and 38, Peter said, each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show that you've received forgiveness for your sins. Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the only way to God and heaven. There is no other way. Yeah, give the Lord a hand of praise for the truth. We clap for the truth. In 1 Timothy 2 and 5, it says, for there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. And now listen to what Jesus says. He said in John 8 and 24, you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you're going to die in your sins. Now, many professing Christians believe that they can sin and still make heaven. Total deception. I'm telling you, it will never happen. Listen to what it says in 1 John 3 and 6. The Bible makes it very clear. It says, anyone who continues to live in Christ will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know God or understand who he is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Jesus Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil. He's been sinning from the very beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. If you were moved by today's message, you can download a copy for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org, and click on Audio Messages. Our new website makes listening and downloading faster and more simple than ever. And if you would like to help keep this radio ministry alive, you can make a gift offering right there online. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message was from the Summer Revelation series titled, Would Jesus Call Your Church Dead? This is part one. Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
This is Pastor Steve, and the most important decision that you will make in life is where you will spend eternity. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, I want to lead you in this prayer. So pray with me. Dear God, I am a sinner. I am sorry for my sins. Please forgive me and change my life. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ, your Son, died for me on the cross of Calvary and rose again. Jesus, come into my life. I receive you now and confess you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for salvation and eternal life. If you've prayed that prayer, then Jesus Christ has come into your life. Continue to pray every day. Continue to read God's Word. Find a church. Ask God to lead and guide you by His Holy Spirit. God bless you today, and keep listening to A Place to Grow.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.